a blessing to be here. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up today, and obviously those that aren't here are missed or will be missed. So with the message today, or the opening, or what I feel like the Lord has been showing me is basically kind of giving more of a call to a quiet and faithful life. And I'm kind of experiencing that the wisdom of God isn't really found in some of the loudest voices, whether it's in the world or whereabouts that they would be. And I don't believe that the wisdom of God is also found in just endless and constant arguing and debating of men. I think it's actually found in the quiet strength of the people who walk in obedience and those who tend to listen more than they speak. And I think it's in those who trust in God's will rather than their own and their own ability to argue or to construct ideas or to prove or defend themselves. So Ecclesiastes 9:17, it says, "The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among the fools." So I think we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we desire to be loud and to be heard, or do we desire to be wise? Or are we seeking approval of men, or do we seek the favor of God? And do we find our strength and our ability to make noise, or do we find our strength in living faithfully, quietly, and steadfastly? I think we all know, if you go into any stores, that we live in a world where everybody wants to be seen and heard, at least in some way. And so if we can remember that even Christ himself, who was God in the flesh, chose actually silence before people who were falsely accusing him. And he didn't fight to prove himself before Pilate. And he didn't demand that the world acknowledge his authority. Instead, he walked the path of obedience, and he trusted his Father. And I think this is an example that we have to follow. And I think within the world, and when you're doing activities in the world, we get tempted to get loud or to bait, whether it's through business or different things. A lot of times we long to seek validation. But I think that what Christ tells us is that we have to prove our worth not through our words, but God actually calls us to a higher ground. And I think that higher ground is a life where wisdom is actually displayed, not through speech, but through our actions. And it's not through noise, but it's in that quiet strength that we exhibit. And then there's obviously the results of our decisions that are manifested in our life that speaks to the wisdom that we actually walk in. I think, to look at a few points here, I think there's a danger of seeking to be heard over seeking righteousness in our lives. And too many people today desire some sort of a platform, whether it's a social media platform, a stage, different things. And they desire a platform to end up making their theories known or their theology or whatever known. And I think they desire a lot of influence. And they seek to be known, and they want to be followed and to be praised. But if we look, and what doth the Scripture saith about these things? And Proverbs 29:11 warns us, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards." And there's a danger in always seeking to be heard, because the more that we speak, the more we tend to walk in our faults. And the more that we debate or try to prove our ideas, the less that we actually act and live out what our theology is. And James 1 gives us a strong rebuke, that if any man among you seem to be righteous and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So if we look, there's a lot of professing Christians who tend to speak a lot about Christianity, but don't necessarily live it out. And we spend a lot more time discussing ideas than proving Christianity with our lives and simply doing what's right. I mean, there's a comment that I heard a few years ago I really like, and basically the comment was said, "Are we too busy playing Christians than to be a Christian?" Okay, so Paul instructs us in Romans 12, he says, "To be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I don't believe that we're called to necessarily to win debates and theological discussions as much as we are called to win souls. And I don't think souls are actually won through loudness, but they're actually won through faithfulness. And they're won through the humility of the people, and they're won through loving the unconverted. Another point is the amount of power that actually exudes a quiet life. So I think the world sees quietness as weakness, but I think there's a quiet strength, there's a quietness that God more sees as strength. And I think the world teaches us that you have to fight for your place, or you're somehow going to be looked over, or something to that effect. But I think God teaches us that those who are humble are going to be exalted. So 1 Peter describes, I think, the beauty of what actually a meek and quiet spirit look like. He says, But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So I think a quiet life does not mean a life of inaction. It actually means a life of being steady, of being unwavering in faithfulness. And it's the life of this man who gets up each day and does what's right. He's not seeking recognition, but he's looking to walk in the obedience of God and what God's calling is on his life. And Paul tells the Thessalonians, they study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. I think the greatest testimony, or one of the biggest testimonies that a Christian can actually have, is not in their words and not in their speech and not in their sermons, but in their life. And I think of being a faithful worker, a loving parent, a devoted husband, and basically a man or a woman of high integrity on the person's life speaks so much louder than 1,000 arguments, debates, discussions, or theories. The example, another thing I want to look at is the example of Christ and his strength that he exuded in silence. So Christ is the perfect example that we have. And though he had the right to command the world's attention, he often withdrew to be alone with his Father. In Luke it says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed." And he was not seeking the approval of men, he was seeking the will of God. And so when he stood before Pilate, having spent the time in the wilderness and his alone time, when he stood before Pilate, unjustly accused, he didn't defend himself with eloquent words, which he could have. In Matthew, it records that when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. So why did Christ remain silent? Okay? The reason I think he remained silent is because truth does not have to shout. Okay, God's will does not need human defense. Okay? And truth actually remains truth whether it's spoken or not. So I think that we do not need to fight for the approval of the world, and we do not need to be the loudest voices in the room. I think if we are faithful, obedient, steadfast, and quiet before the Lord, he will have his way. Lamentations 3:26 reminds us, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And now I'd like to look at a call that I think we have to maybe live differently than what commonly goes on around us. I think the world will tell us that your voice is your power, whether it's in the protests or different things like that. That if you are not heard, that you don't matter. But I think God tells us that your life and the way that you choose to live it is actually your power. Okay? Your quiet and faithful obedience is of more value than 1,000 speeches. Okay? So I think there are some truths that we should commit ourselves to live by. Okay? Some of these truths would include, I think we need to seek wisdom over attention. I think we should not desire to be heard. We should have the desire to be wise. I think the truth of live righteously is more important than being able to win a debate over righteousness. And I think we should let your life actually be the proof of your faith. I think we can find strength in quiet obedience. I think we should know that your value is not in how much you can say, but how faithfully that you can actually walk with God. So with the example of Christ, if we be still before the Lord, and we should trust in his will, and let our lives speak louder than our words. And I think if we live this way, we don't only walk in wisdom, like where Ecclesiastes 9 says, the words of the wise are heard in quiet. But if we actually live with some of those truths, I think that we actually walk in the steps of Christ. So, trying to draw this together here, I want to look at the quiet strength that wise people actually have. So if there's one lesson that I think that we can take away today, I think it's that a wise man is not found in the noise that typically exudes maybe a wrong form of confidence, but I think a wise man is actually found in more of a quiet demeanor. So the world, again, tends to measure strength by how forcefully a man speaks or how loudly he argues or how fiercely he's going to defend his position. But I think true strength, the strength that is actually unshakable by the storms of life, doesn't come from volume. Okay? It comes from discipline, that you've disciplined yourself consistently when nobody's been around, when you've been in the wilderness by yourself. It comes from a steadfastness, and it comes from the quiet resolve that exudes from the faith that you have that God is actually in control of the situation. So again, Ecclesiastes 9 reminds us the words of the wise are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among the fools. So the foolish man believes that his power is in his loudness and his ability to be heard. The wise man knows that his power is actually in his ability to endure all things and to act in a silent manner and to be steadfast. And if a man if we really think about it, if you have a man in front of you that seeks merely to be heard, the question becomes, what is that man's ambition? Okay, his ambition at that point is to satisfy his own pride. But if you have somebody in front of you and he seeks to be faithful, obedient, and just, then what's his ambition? Okay, his ambition is something that is higher than his own ego. So if we look at the unshakable strength that actually comes from a quiet resolve, Proverbs 17 says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Okay, so the strength that comes there isn't actually in knowledge. The strength that came from that is actually in mastering yourself. It's the ability to rule over your tongue and to hold your emotions in check. Okay? So you speak when the words are needed. A wise man is very, very deliberate in their words. And he's measured in the things that he says. And he doesn't need to prove his wisdom because his actions and his life has already proved it for him. But how do we actually achieve that self-mastery where we can control ourselves, where we can control our tongue? You know, how can we cultivate in ourselves this quiet strength? The answer, again, is found in discipline and patience and a faith and a trust in God. James says, he gives us a simple but very direct and profound command. He said, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The fool reacts, and the wise man reflects. The fool speaks, and the wise man listens. Okay, the fool demands attention. The wise man gains respect through his actions. There's a futility or a pointlessness that comes through arguing. And a wise man lives life instead of giving debates. So in our world today, men tend to waste their times on constant arguing, debates, going back and forth, strife. They quarrel over what they think righteousness should be like, but they fail to actually practice the righteousness. And they debate what a Christian should be, but they refuse to become one. And this aligns with what the Lord is saying in Matthew 7, where he says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven." So a man is not righteous because he speaks of righteousness. He is righteous because he lives it. And a man is not wise because he knows the right words. He is wise because he actually follows the right path. And Paul tells us in Thessalonians that you should study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So the world does not need more men who can give a sermon. It needs more men who can act and endure and walk with integrity. Okay, the power of accepting, there's a type of power that comes when you can accept God's will and do it with peace and in silence. So I think the greatest test of wisdom, so the biggest test that you can experience in this life with wisdom, is being able to accept what you cannot change. Okay, so if you have the fool rages against the storm, that the storms of life that comes. The wise man stands firm in it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not resist the Father's will. Though he had all power of heaven and earth, he chose to stand in silence in front of his accusers. So if we look again, Matthew 27, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said, 'Hearest thou how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch the governor marveled greatly." He had never seen something like that before. All the people, all the experienced men and the military leaders and all the people that came in front of him, he had never seen somebody with that amount of self-mastery, control, and self-power. So, again, this is the ultimate test of wisdom. To trust in God so fully that you no longer feel the need to justify yourself to others in the world. So I think some of the challenge too with trying to justify yourself is you can actually, if you work hard enough, you can have control over your mind and thoughts. But you cannot have control over somebody else's mind and thoughts, irregardless of how hard you try to justify yourself. We can't control how others perceive us, but we can control, and we can't control how the world treats us, but we can control how we respond, and we can control who we are as individuals. And that's why Lamentations says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord," because it's good to be quiet. It's good to trust in the Lord rather than in human approval. And it's good to walk faithfully, even when the world doesn't notice. And sometimes they can even call you evildoers. And just a final calling here. The calling that I would have is that we should walk in strength, that we should walk quietly, and that we should walk in faith. So I think if we desire to be wise, we should desire a type of quietness. If we desire to be strong, we have to seek self-discipline. If we desire to be faithful, we must start obeying. And if we can live by these truths, if we can seek wisdom and not attention, a wise man's words are few, but they should carry a lot of weight. We should live righteously rather than arguing about righteousness, and we should let our lives be our proof. We should be strong and silent obedience. And the strength is not in making noise, but in standing firm in your convictions. We should follow the example of Christ, which is not to have to justify ourselves before men, but trust the will of God. Psalms 46 gives us a command. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The world shouts, the fool argues, the wise man is still. He trusts God, he does what is right, and he lives quietly and lets the strength of his faith speak louder than his words.